We're not in a hurry. We're not in a hurry, Lord. We're your people, my God, called by your name. Oh, Lord, we'll wait in your presence. So, Lord, is your heart clear? Oh, God, if you want to speak, have your way. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's more required of you. My Lord and my God, speak, Father. Yea, amen, amen, amen.
The Lord would say to you this day, I have brought many of you in and out of seasons, and I am the one that says, when you stay in it as long as I say, or come out of it. But it's a
Yeah, glory, glory, hallelujah, yes, hallelujah, Lord, well, my Lord, hallelujah, oh, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Well, our kids can be dismissed to kids' church and our middle schoolers to middle school class. And Lord, I just thank you for your presence. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you, oh my God, for miracles that's happened here this morning. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord, that you have already confirmed your words by your spirit. And now I will obey. God, I am praying that your word will find a lodging place in our hearts and it will bring forth much fruit in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. This is a great day. This is the Pentecostal day. It's the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection, 50 days after the crucifixion. 50 days later, and God, for 40 days, Jesus appeared to his disciples for 40 days. And then he told them, on that last day he was with them, I want you to go and tarry in Jerusalem. And I want you to wait for the promise of the Father. Let me just pick it up real quick in Acts chapter 1. So now, he is about to descend, and the last thing he says to them, he says, while they were staying with him, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said you heard from him. For John baptized with water, baptized, totally immersed, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. It's a promise Jesus said, and he said, it will not, oh, it's coming. It's coming. I'm going to go to the Father. I'm going to send him to you. I tell you, and the promise of the Father is going to come to you. Oh, and you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Yes. Praise God. Oh, let me just jump down to 2 real quick. I want to read this to you. So when the day of Pentecost, chapter 2, arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues, as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So it came to pass. Jesus said, this is what's going to happen, Captain, and this is what happened. And it wasn't just 10 days later, while they was tearing, the Holy Ghost came. And he was poured out, beloved. He was poured out on them. And listen to me. Why are you saying that? Because I want you to know he has fulfilled his word. God is a God of his word. What God said is the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. It is the truth of God. If you go to the doctor and the doctor says, hey, let me tell you, we have run some tests on you and we know this about your body. You have, I don't care, name it, cancer in your left leg. They only base it on science. I want you to understand something. When God says something, he bases it on truth. Yeah. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? I'm not saying you didn't have cancer in your left leg. I'm just saying they based it on science. But when God says something, he bases it on his truth. And God's word is always true. God does not lie. God don't play jokes. God don't throw you curves. God, his word is the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Praise God. So the Holy Spirit has been poured out. Beloved, the Holy Spirit has been given to us. How many of you, well, I don't want to say that because it'll look like if you don't raise your hand. Let me just say this. Many in this building have been baptized with the Holy Spirit. Amen? It's because it's been poured out. And in the last days, let me read that to you. Listen to me. So down in chapter 2, verse 14 through 18 says this. So they were all, they got filled, they were speaking in tongues, and everybody started looking and said, you know what? I mean, them boys done got drunk. They look like they're drinking. Look, they're acting. I don't know how they're acting, but they thought they was drunk on new wine. And so Peter said, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words, for these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days, it shall be, God declared, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. In the last days, my God, he's going to pour out his spirit, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Oh, praise God. I tell you, and yay, and amen, and it has come to pass. Amen. Praise God. So our young men are dreaming. Our old men are having dreams, and our young men and women are prophesying. Oh, my God, I tell you, he's alive. He has done exactly what he said he's due. You say, well, I don't believe in that stuff. I don't care whether you believe it or not. It's in the Word. I don't care what you believe. We all got all kind of feelings about all kinds of things. I just want you to know what the Bible says in the last days. And he's been pouring out his spirit because you already said, yes, amen. I've been baptized with the Holy Spirit because he's been poured out on. God poured out his spirit on you. Praise God. Oh, praise God. So we know this. Now, listen to me. You say, well, Pastor John, I hear you, but that hadn't been my experience. All right, well, okay. Hang on just a little bit. Let me read you one more thing, okay? So in Acts chapter 2, 37 and 39, listen to this. Now, after they was hearing this, they were sitting there, they was preaching and teaching this. Peter done got up and said all these things. And then it says this. Now, when they heard these, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Oh, my God. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise, listen to this, like this, the promise is for you. Yes. It's for your children. Yes. Listen, and it's for all who are far off. My God, it's everywhere, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. So it's for you, beloved. You might say, well, I don't understand. I don't have it. Keep on pressing in. It's by faith that you get everything you do in God is by faith. It's by faith that you are saved. It's by faith that you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's faith that you walk with God and talk with God. You know what? God don't walk up and shake your hand. No, God gets down in your spirit, and you know in your knower that you have met him. I met him. I don't know what to tell you. I didn't shake his hand, but he shook me. My God, I know him. I know him. When he speaks to me, he speaks in my spirit, man. I know he spoke to me. Oh, oh my God. We don't have to hear him with our ear. We hear him in our spirits. We hear him down in our knowers because he speaks. He's alive. Oh, he's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. Yo, he's speaking. He's speaking. Oh, 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 oh. This ain't what I'm preaching about. I'm just getting you there. Here's what I'm preaching about. Praise God. But it's came to pass. It's came to pass. Now he's here. He's yours. He's mine. He's your children's. He's your children's children. He's for every one of you. Do you get it? Praise God. That's what the Bible tells us, beloved. That ain't the crazy preacher. That's what the Bible says. Praise God. Oh, my God. Sweetest thing ever happened to me. Oh, it's when I got saved. And the second sweetest thing, when I was baptized, my God in the Holy Ghost changed my life forever. Oh, praise God. So listen to this. Oh, praise God. Fred, the one that was up here, wasn't he good? He don't even know what I'm preaching about. I don't even know what he's singing about. Do you understand? Let me show y'all something. I want you to know this, that the Holy Ghost is in the room. Nobody knows. Every one of y'all that was led by the Holy Ghost to speak had no idea what I'm speaking about. I've not shared anything with anybody. I want you to know that God is in the room. God is in the room. God is in the room. Because listen to me. This week, the Lord so stirred my spirit over something. And it's found in Joshua. I won't go there. It's Joshua chapter 3. I think it's verse 5, I think. But the Lord spoke to Joshua, said, tell my people to consecrate themselves before God, because tomorrow I'm going to show them great and mighty things. Consecrate yourselves to me. Consecrate, set apart, tell my people, my God, consecrate themselves. I'm calling grace, you, us, to consecrate ourselves to God. I am calling, oh, because I sense and hear in my spirit, in my knower, God is calling his people to consecration. Praise God. Let me show you one thing. 1 Peter. Look, pull it up. 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, and I think I can't even read my own writing. 13 through 15. Have you got that? Oh. 13 says, therefore, preparing your minds for action. Oh. And being sober-minded, set your hope fully in the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, don't be conformed to the passions of your family. As he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct. Now, beloved, I'm going to get in your sandbox now. God is in my sandbox, and your pet pleasures, if not careful, will become your pet sins. Now, I'm going there, and I want you to hear me out before you begin to criticize. I am so disturbed in my spirit over our pet pleasures and our pet sins, because I have already showed you in the Bible that God is here, that the Holy Ghost has been poured out, that the Holy Ghost is wanting to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. We already said that, and you said yes and amen, and it's so. I want you to understand something. How come He's not being poured out in a more mightier way? Because of our pet pleasures and our pet sins. You say, oh no. Now listen to me. I hate to do it, but I'm going there. Christians, believers, now have no problem with drinking. No problem. No sin, Pastor John. Jesus made wine. I've heard them all. Won't you stay with me? Stay with me. Don't check out on me. Listen to me. You might have used to sip socially, but your sipping went too far. You say, Pastor John, are you trying to say it's a sin? I didn't say it was a sin. Here's what I want you to understand something. God has called you to holiness. God is calling you to consecration. God is calling you to be set apart. He said, I am holy. You be holy as I am holy. But here's the problem, okay? It was just sipping a little bit. But now, let me say something, Billy. Let me bring it home. You sip more than you pray now. Huh? Is it possible that I sip more than I pray? Let me say something else. Is it possible that I get more comfort out of my bottle than I do out of my God? I tell you, God is a jealous God. Beloved, I want to say, I never have I ever had a message about alcohol, but I'm telling you, you have gone too far. You're slipping. You're slipping with your sipping. And I want us to understand something. You say, well, what? This drinking, does that make me not holy? Well, let me ask you a better question. You can argue with me to the day, listen, to the cows come home. Here's what I want to ask you. Does your drinking make you more holier? That's the question. Does your drinking make you holy? That's what I want to know. Does your drinking make you holy? Because listen to me. You're not just anybody. You've been bought with a price, beloved. I tell you, God's people. I tell you, you don't need to go off sipping. My God, if you're not a Christian, you probably need a drink to get along in this world. My God. But listen to me, beloved. This ain't about... He was singing, and I thought, my God, if he knew what I was preaching, will you say yes? Will your soul say yes? Oh, we'll say yes until... Hold on a minute, brother. Ain't nothing wrong with me taking a little sip. Will it make you more holy? Beloved, this is not a question. I'm not about your drinking. I'm about your consecration. Do you understand? I want you to understand something. You know, I'm not even going to debate it with you. You can come up with me after, and you can tell me, Jesus made wine. I know that. Noah got drunk. I know. I read my Bible too. I get it. Okay, but that don't make them more holy. I tell you, after Noah got drunk and his daughter slept with him, Noah had some trouble, didn't he? Had some problems there. My God, I bet you he wished he'd have never drank. Did you know that John the Baptist, New Testament, let's just do one. John the Baptist, New Testament. Did you know that he was required not to put any strong drink to his mouth, not even eat a grape? Don't even eat the skin off of a grape, not even a raisin dried up. Because why? Because he was set apart. He was sanctified. My God. Well, I'm not John the Baptist, but I tell you, you're more. Beloved. Beloved, listen to me. Please. Set apart means to separate something and keep it for a special purpose. To be separated. Kept. Is there anything in your life that is separated and put for a special purpose? Beloved, listen to me. Just think about it for a minute. Consecrate. To consecrate yourself. Listen to me. To consecrate yourself is to answer God's call to spiritual consecration. This means making a conscious, willing decision to dedicate your soul, your mind, your heart, your body to God. This decision must be one of will, intellect, and affection. You see, there's the problem where God gets a little jealous. He knows. Could you imagine? I folded that after I wiped my nose. Could you imagine having all power, dominion, and authority, and my children? They can't be consoled in me. Jim Beam has to console them. Can you imagine? Listen, beloved. Our affections, sometimes we can get distracted. I know you would never kill a baby. I know that. But you would vote for someone who will. I know you wouldn't rob a bank. But you think your employer owes what you take while you're at work. It's yours. I mean, I work here. I know you wouldn't stab your brother or sister in the back with a knife, but you would tear them apart with your mouth. Consecration, beloved. This is not a guilt trip. I just want to know, would you say yes? Consecrate yourself to me. Be holy as I am holy. Do you know you was called into holiness, beloved? Do you know you're called? Do you know that? Do you know that you're called into holiness? You can't hardly tell Christians apart from nobody else anymore. And some of us are kind of proud of that. Some of us want, when we share the gospel, we want you to know how hip Jesus is. He's cool. He's a cool dude. He's hip. Yeah. I told some men that passed me some weed one time, and I didn't think about it. I just took the joint. I'm talking about marijuana. Some of you. And I just passed it on without thought. And they stopped me. Some of you heard this before. But they stopped me and they said to each other, "You crazy? What'd you pass him the joint for? You know he's trying to be a Christian. Why did you do that?" And I was like, man, this dude's going to tear him a new one over. And I thought, well, get him. And they got in a fuss about it, Alex. They was actually fussing about passing me a joint. Well, now, they always have made fun of me about being a Christian. And now they're defending me. It threw me for a curve. So, Pastor Chris, I said, hold a minute, guys, before y'all get been out of shape here, let me just say this. I can smoke as much as y'all can smoke. I can drink as much as you can drink. And one of them said, well, my God, I'm going to his church. And I said, well, wait a minute. Hold on a minute, because here's my deal. I want you to understand, I put on my pants every morning like you put on your pants, and I can do them things, but I don't want to anymore. There's something happened in me. Now, that's interesting because when I got saved, I asked the Lord. I ain't even going to tell you all that because y'all going to think I'm crazy. I ain't going to say it. Oh, it ain't no preaching. It's the dumbest thing you could ever say to God. I say dumb things sometimes. I tell you what, God's been good to me because I've been a big dummy. I said, Lord, I'd be a dedicated Christian if you just let me keep smoking my weed. You grew it, I smoke it. I know that sounds crazy. I was hooked. I mean, don't misunderstand me. I didn't steal for it, but I loved it. I loved it. And I would say, I don't know why I'm saying this to y'all. This is not even good. I would say, if you don't like it, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. Get out of here. I'm minding my own business. Go mind yours. But beloved, I never knew until that day, that very moment, that God had changed my want tos. I didn't want to anymore. It wasn't because I was super spiritual. It wasn't because I was God's man or everything. I didn't even have a scripture for it. I just know I didn't want it no more. I had been on a dead-end road long enough. I have been in a cul-de-sac long enough. I can write you a book about cul-de-sacs. You can travel, but you never go nowhere. Your friends are the same, and they don't care about you. Just long as you got money and you got the stuff, you my friend. But when you ain't got no money, you ain't got no stuff, you ain't nobody. I get it. I know. I've been there. I got T-shirts I won. I got cups for trophies. My God. Sad day. Sad day. Sad day. So, beloved, if the Holy Ghost has been poured out, and if God is wanting to do miracles among us, my God, what's blocking it? Could it be consecration? Could it be, oh, I require something from you. I require something. Would you say yes with your, listen, beloved, I'm not trying to get on your do's and don'ts. Would you consecrate? Would you reconsecrate yourself to God? It's your little pet peeves. It's your little pet. Do you understand? It's the little pet. It's the little pet things. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Then it becomes little sins. Did you ever dream? Now, I'm going to say a hard one. Did you ever dream in your wildest dreams that we would have to stand on the platform with the Bible and tell people that I tell you, if you sleep with the same sex, it's an abomination to the Lord. Do you know what abomination means? It's disgusting. Amen. That's what the word says, beloved. And yet, I have heard people who proclaim to be believers say out of their mouth, I'll go either way. And they say they're believers. My God, did you ever think we'd have to, did you ever in your wildest dream have to think, no, honey, you're a little girl, you're not a boy. Did you ever think that day would come? And yet, beloved, that day is here. My God, tell me, oh, but the church don't want to consecrate themselves. We want to look like the world. We want to draw in the world. We want to be like the world. Consecration. You don't even hear about consecration anymore. And us pastors, God help us. We just want you to get it. We want you to know God loves you. I don't care where you come from. I want you to know that God loves you. And we almost say we don't care what you do anymore. Just come. Just say, I believe in Jesus. We want to speak of Jesus over everything with no requirements. And now you're confused. See, some of you don't even know how you feel about it until I say something about it, and already I can already sense a pull, like, no, you're getting that out of context. Okay, I'm telling you, I'm not getting consecration to God out of context. Being set apart for God is not out of context. Okay? I tell you what, if you want to, you can argue the little things if you want, but I tell you, oh, tell me how, what would you set your part, what would you set yourself apart with? So we pray for this refreshing. We pray for this revival. And the church wants it, right? Church wants it. We want it, Lord, with no requirements. Rain down on us. Just let it rain, let it rain. No, we're not going to change, but just let it rain, let it rain, let it rain. Oh. Feel me full. Oh. Don't ask anything from me. I'm not capable of doing that, Lord. I just want to live my life on my terms. Let it rain, Holy Spirit. Let it rain, let it rain, let it rain. Oh, you're so good. Let it rain. Oh. What would a people look like that's consecrated to God? We care, we intellectually, we have made a decision by act of our own will. We will do what God has asked us to do. Well, if God don't say, thou shalt not, you're not going to read anything into it. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Okay, we get that. Thou shalt not steal. Okay, we get that. Thou shalt, but ain't no verses, thou shalt not drink. So, Pastor, you a nutcase. Okay. Consecration. Set apart. I tell you what. I dare you. Praise God. Let me do this. I dare you. Why don't you take, oh, praise God, the next 40 days and consecrate yourself to the Lord. God, do it for us. God, call. Set next 40 days. Why don't you make up your mind and listen to me? If you're going to consecrate, one time I heard somebody say this, and we've heard it before. We're going to fast for 40 days, and we want to fast around the clock. So what I do, I say, well, hey, I tell you what I'm going to take. I'm going to take from 12 midnight to 6 in the morning. I won't eat nothing. I'm sound asleep. That's an easy fast. It don't cost you nothing. It don't cost you nothing. You know what? You ain't impressed, God. You know, consecrate yourself. Consecrate yourself. Set yourself apart. Why set myself apart for God? We're not trying to be more spiritual than anybody else. We're setting ourselves apart for the Father, for the one who called me. Oh, let me give you a scripture. Let me just say this. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 through 20. And Peter is speaking, and they're on fire. These ordinary men, fishermen, who had no power, who was scared to death, who was hiding in a room. They was powerless. They're ordinary men, and yet here, now something has happened. The power of the Holy Ghost has fell on them, and I tell you what, now, I tell you, they're brave, oh my God, and they're bold, and they're full of power. And I tell you where they go, things are happening. They're laying hands on the sick, they're being healed. I tell you one thing, people have been delivered. And so, and now they're out and they're preaching this gospel. Well, they're set on fire. Yeah. Did you know? Did you even care that today was Pentecost Sunday? Oh, yeah, we know, Dad. Repent, therefore, is what he says in verse 3, verse, I think it's 19. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out. That times, listen to this, times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. You want to be refreshed, beloved? You want times? You want a revival? A revival just means a refreshing. You want to be refreshed? Oh, set yourself aside. Set yourself apart. My God, I tell you what, listen to me. These times, oh, of refreshing, come from the presence of the Lord. And it says that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus. So we want times of refreshing. Beloved, if you want refreshed, repent of your pet sins. Repent. This is to the pastor too. Repent of your pet sins. Repent of your pet pleasures. How many times have you been asked this question? How close can I get to the edge? I already know you're already too far. There's something wrong with your heart. You're already too far. How close can I live to the edge without slipping off into hell? Can I? I mean, this is good. This is good. Hold my hand, Jesus. Hold my hand, Jesus, while I do my best to slip off the edge. Hold my hand, Jesus. Yeah, because he's always with you. He'll never leave you. Okay, I gotta finish because Brooke and him's leaving. Praise God. So, let me read one more scripture to you. Praise God. And I'm going to let you go. Praise God. So, consecrate yourself. Let me read consecrate one more time. To consecrate yourself is to answer God's call to spiritual consecration. Okay? So, this ain't about you drinking. This ain't about all the things I said. I just want you to understand something. Would you consecrate yourself? Would you consecrate yourself for the next 40 days? Would you consecrate? And let's see what God, let's see, would you repent? Let's see if God would bring a revival to Grace Assembly if we just repent. Can we do that? Can we do that? That's something we can do. We can just repent of our pet sins. You can't hold unforgiveness, malice in your heart. You just can't hold it there and walk with Jesus. I had a dear lady just tell me recently that Jesus spoke to her and he said this, you can't walk with me and hate your neighbor. Now, Jesus said that to her, not the pastor. You can't walk with me and hate your brother. You can't walk with me and hate your sister. Beloved, I know people have hurt you, and you may get hurt again. But, beloved, you've got to be willing to let it go. Because we want to consecrate ourselves to the Lord, we want what God wants for us. People are going to hurt you. They'll use you and abuse you. Let me tell you worse than that. The world will chew you up and spit you out, and you never give enough. You never give enough. So, one more scripture, and I want to give you this because this will kind of put the icing on the cake for you. Maybe at least you consider this one that I'm sure that you have read many times. But I want to read it to you one more time. I can't even get my thoughts together. It's in the Bible. Romans chapter 12. Listen to this. I beseech ye, brothers, sisters, by the mercies of God, or I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices. Your body, get that? The body, the one you don't care much about, the one you just do anything with, the one you just throw anything in, your body is a presented. It's a living, holy sacrifice. Oh, my God. Oh. To present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. A spiritual worship that you present yourselves. Do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You will discern by presenting yourself holy, presenting your body. Won't you stand on your feet, beloved? Now, you know what? We watched this beautiful mime. Will you say yes? Would you say yes? Would you say yes? Would you say yes? Now, you get mad at the pastor, but listen, Go to the Lord. Go to the Lord and ask Him. Ask the Lord. I tell you what, just ask the Holy Spirit this. No, I'm not going to toy with that. I won't say that. Let's just go to the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Do you know why sometimes it's so easy for you to be offended? Because you love yourself so much. And it's easy to be offended. When you are the king or the queen that sits on the throne of your heart, it's easy to be offended when someone don't see you in all of your glory, your majesty. Listen. Don't be so easily offended. Don't be so easily offended. Would you say yes? I say yes with my mind. I say yes with my soul. I say yes with my heart. You know what? I may be weak as water, but I tell you one thing. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. You may look at me and say, you're weak in your faith. I may be weak in my faith, but I'm hungry.
Yes.
I want more. My God, and I'll do whatever it takes. I will do it.
Yes.
I will do what it takes. Because I'm hungry.
Hallelujah.
Will you do what it takes? Oh, just think about it for a minute. Lord, Father, speak to your children. Confirm with your spirit. Father God, in the name of Jesus. Well, let me say this to you before we dismiss. Would you at least tonight, if you won't do it right now, maybe there's too many people around you, maybe it's too much activity, I don't know. Maybe the devil is trying to blind you and lie to you and deceive you. Principalities and powers coming against you. Kill, steal, and destroy. The seed, the word of God. But tonight, before you go to sleep, would you be willing to ask the Lord, Lord, is there anything in my life that I could consecrate to you? Is there anything? Anything. Anything you want, Lord. Anything you want from me. Do you want revival? Repent. You want a refreshing? Repent. Pet pleasures, pet sins, they ain't the biggies. Consider what I'm saying to you. Consecrate yourself to the Lord. Consecrate yourself to the Lord. Beloved, just because it's legal don't mean it's right. Just because the world tells you it's legal does not make it right. You have been called, beloved, into holiness. You have been called, beloved, to present your body as a living sacrifice. Holy, holy and acceptable is what you're doing. Holy. Is what is your conduct holy? Help us when Christians can out curse the world. Help us, God, clean up our mouths. My God. You're no fresh water. Oh yeah, you know it. Salt water don't come from the same fountain. You see, God wants to pour living water. From your bellies will flow living water. Oh, won't you consecrate yourself? Would you consecrate yourself to me, says the Lord? Joshua told him, consecrate yourself. Tomorrow, God's going to show you wonders. Oh, do you want to see wonders, beloved? Let's consecrate. This is not legalistic. No, it's consecration. It's a love walk. It's about your love, beloved. It's about your love. Don't be divided in your interest. Don't be so divided. Don't be so scattered. Oh, my God. So, Lord, I just pray over your people as we go our separate ways. Lord, I pray for forgiveness. We repent. We repent of our pet sins and our pet pleasures. I repent, my God. I want to consecrate myself. Beloved, you're going to have to read your Bible to consecrate yourself. Beloved, get in your Bible. Consecrate yourself. Oh, His words are truth. Any other word about any other subject is just based on science. Could be just based on facts. But them facts may not be true. His word is true. He has a true word. Yeah, Lord, yeah, Lord. Would you just yourself that you just fall in love. Just fall in love. Just fall deep in love with Him. Fall deep in love with the Lord. So, Father, I pray tonight when they lay their heads on the pillows, I pray that when their minds settle down, even if they slip off to sleep, I'm asking that you wake them up. I'm asking that you would disturb them. I'm asking that you would interrupt and say, what about me? What about what I want for you, my beloved? My beloved, my daughter, my son, this is what I want for you. This is not just a commandment. Which that would be enough. This is about your heart, the condition of your heart. Consecration, a setting apart. Yes. So I pray that over your people, my God, in Jesus' name. Don't let no harm or evil come nigh the dwelling, Lord, as they go their separate ways. Go with them. Encamp angels round about them, oh God. Protect them. Hallelujah. They're your people. They're your people. They're your people. Yes, Lord. Pray over them, their children, our grandchildren. My God, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.